I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we're going to talk about a couple of different stories. We're going to talk about a warning from Charisma News to pastors in America. And, of course, they published an article at Charisma News, which generally I like. I like Charisma News, the Christian publication. But the headline is, "What U.S. Pastors Can Expect Soon, It's Going to Get Ugly." And then they made reference to the story of James McConnell, Pastor James McConnell, who preached against Islam there in the U.K. And we did a show on this. We talked about what Pastor McConnell had to say, the fact that he was eventually found not guilty and the charges were dropped against him. That was a victory. Praise the Lord. For him, for Christianity, and for free speech over in the United Kingdom, that was a good thing. The fact that he did not face any prosecution, didn't have to go to jail, didn't have to pay this absurd fine, etc. However, there are those who believe that this same philosophy, this same worldview, is going to come to America now. The gross, overwhelming hypocrisy of it is the fact that Muslims in the UK are allowed to go up and down the street and be shouting and screaming all of these insults and declaring that they're there to take over and all this other kind of stuff. And there's no prosecution, apparently, for them. I mean, I've seen video of the Muslims over there walking around harassing English people and making all sorts of offensive comments and this kind of thing, and there's no accountability. And when those in the UK are confronted, the government is confronted, they'll say, "Oh, well, we have free speech." And it's free speech for the Muslims, it's just not free speech for Christians or people who are traditional English patriots. They don't have free speech, apparently. That's what it amounts to. But Pastor McConnell had made reference to Enoch Powell. Enoch Powell, and I talked about this on another program, Enoch Powell, who back in the 1960s gave his, he was a British politician, gave his Rivers of Blood speech, where he's warning about this flood of immigrants coming into Europe back then in the 1960s. And the situation is far worse today. But if you've never read up on Enoch Powell, he's passed away, but it's a very interesting study to go and examine the warnings that he was preaching as a politician that far back in history, and he was able to foresee the danger of what they were doing because they had put this whole thing in motion in the 1960s and 70s. And so what we're seeing today, we're seeing the situation now, it's about half a century later. And you've got a country like France where they are predicting France is going to become a Muslim country in the next 20 years. And the hostility in England seems to be getting worse, although I will say this, to be fair about it, we did get a phone call here at our ministry a few days ago, and I spoke with a Christian sister there in the UK who's living in London, actually, and asked her about the situation. And she said she doesn't think it's all that bad in London right now, at least her experience. And she says she does live near certain Muslims who are very kind people. I think it's important to acknowledge that. And she also sees it as a witnessing opportunity. And I think that as Christians, we certainly should. In fact, I got an email from one of our listeners talking about that in particular, that we should be taking the opportunity to witness to Muslims when they come into America and into the Western world. I completely agree, brethren. I completely agree. I think the church should be engaged in discussions, debates, witnessing, preaching the gospel. Praise the Lord. I believe we should be doing all of that and making it clear to Muslims that the salvation of God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is available to them, that it's available to them, it's available to all, that God commands that all men everywhere repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So, having said that, however, I wrote back to one of our listeners and I took the time to say, I agree the church should be preaching and witnessing, etc. However, I believe the state, the powers of government, have a responsibility to protect the common people and to uphold God's law, God's moral law. And part of upholding God's moral law is to make sure that the gospel can be freely preached, because this is the problem with having Islam come into these countries, because Islam continually attacks the gospel, not just theologically by disagreeing with it, but in particular wants laws passed that forbid people from preaching the gospel to them. In Muslim countries, you can't go proselytize a Muslim. You can't go and encourage a Muslim to convert. In Muslim countries, they don't want you out on the street preaching the gospel and trying to bring people to salvation. So this is what I mean. If Islam gains momentum in any country, they will oppose the gospel of Jesus Christ and try to hinder the preaching of the gospel. And that is something that I believe, as Christians, we should most certainly be concerned about. Absolutely. All right, now, the story, the main story I wanted to talk about on the program today has to do with Bernie Sanders. And Bernie Sanders, who we've talked about, I talked about in the last program, he's getting all of this support from the young college graduates and young people who don't even really seem to know what socialism is, but they're excited about it. They think socialism is a good idea. They think it's going to be great for America, etc. I personally think a lot of these young people are just hearing Bernie say they're going to get free college, and because that's where they are in life, they're at a point where they're either getting ready to go to college, and the idea of free college sounds good to them, or they have recently graduated from college, or maybe they're still in college, and they're looking at having to pay back all these student loans and this kind of thing, and they're thinking, you know, if Bernie was president, he would just pay off my college tuition for me. Then I wouldn't have to be concerned about it. But you can go online, read some of these stories from Sweden, from Denmark, and so on, countries that have free education all the way up through college, and then read about the lifestyle that they have once they graduate. What happens? You pay for everything. The taxes are so high to buy a car, to buy a house. I mean, many people in these countries cannot even afford to buy a home. They can't afford to buy a home because the cost is so high. So they become dependent upon the government for government benefits and entitlements and this kind of thing, because they have to have them. Otherwise, they couldn't live. And what it does, brethren, it is a form, socialism and communism is a form of a very manipulative, very clever and deceptive way of convincing people they're going to be better off, but effectively it enslaves a population. It makes them almost entirely dependent on the power of the state, or else they can't survive. And that gives the state total control, and it greatly diminishes, and in some cases, completely destroys the freedom of the people. And it's the very antithesis of what our forefathers believed at the founding of our country, and it's really the antithesis of what we find in the Bible. One of the original American mottos was life, liberty, and property, because of the importance of private property ownership. One of the first things that God did with the children of Israel, bringing them out of the land of Egypt, he appointed to each of the 12 tribes their own piece of land, their own private property, because it's essential for freedom. And yet one of the tenets of communism is to abolish private property ownership. That's one of the principles involved. But now why, with Bernie Sanders' campaign, there's been an internet meme that showed up, and it reads, "Satanists for Bernie," and it has the typical goat of Mendes symbol, the inverted pentagram of the goat head, and it says, "Satanists for Bernie 2016. And this story was picked up by InfoWars and then repeated on a number of different websites about how Satanists are supporting Bernie Sanders for president. Interestingly, it's gotten over 1,200 likes on Facebook. And while it's not necessarily an official endorsement from the Church of Satan, at least based on the stories that have been written about it, it's not some kind of official endorsement. But it has gotten a significant amount of attention on Facebook. And what it does is it calls attention, I believe, to the inner core of what is behind socialism and communism. What's really behind the socialism that Bernie Sanders is representing. Whether Sanders is aware of it or not, I don't have any way of knowing. However, the history of Marxism and socialism and communism, that history is well known. Now, I've talked about on this program before, we used to carry a book with our ministry. We don't carry it anymore, but we used to carry a book called Marx and Satan. Marx and Satan. And it was written by the late Pastor Richard Wurmbrand. And Wurmbrand had spent some 14 years in a communist prison. Why? For preaching the gospel, for standing up for the truth. And so he was thrown into a prison where he was tortured, beaten, treated horribly. I've seen his testimony before. If you can look for the video, Tortured for Christ, and listen to his testimony, it's very, very powerful. It's very dramatic. But he talked about in this book now, in the book Marx and Satan, Pastor Wurmbrand talked about how while he was in this prison, the hatred, that just the absolute hatred that the communists had for Christians in particular, performing mock crucifixions, doing mock communion services with just humiliating, demoralizing. And it was like they couldn't do enough to humiliate and torment the Christian prisoners, to the point where Wurmbrand believed there was something demonic going on. Why all of this hatred for Christianity in particular? And so he said he was determined when he got out of prison to do more research into Karl Marx and the origins of communism, which he did. And he documents a lot of that information in his book, Marx and Satan, and reveals that Marx, as a young man, had professed Christianity to some extent, had professed to be a Christian. But then when he went off to college, something happened. Exactly what is not known, but he had some kind of bad or disappointing experience. And at one point he wrote, "I wish to avenge myself against the one who rules above," or "I must avenge myself," one way or the other. But he said he's going to avenge himself against the one who rules above, meaning God, obviously. Why did Marx want vengeance? How did his heart turn? And now he's got this anger and this bitterness in his soul against the Lord. Something happened. He faced some kind of disappointment somehow. And this happens, I think, probably to everybody. I mean, Job, where you read the book of Job, the beginning of Job says that Job made sacrifices unto the Lord. He made sacrifices on behalf of his children. Why? Because he says it may be that they have cursed God in their hearts. So Job recognized the weakness of the flesh. He knew that God looks upon the heart. And when people are frustrated and angry in life, There are times where in your heart, you can get angry at God. And of course, if we ever find ourselves struggling with something like that, we've got to get turned about. Best thing to do is get down on your face in prayer, get a Bible, and begin searching the scriptures and get your heart turned about. Because the scripture says repeatedly, God tries the hearts. God tries the hearts, and we face trials in life because for that very reason. But these are trials that we find the saints and the prophets enduring over and over again. Paul, in the New Testament, he says, "Who is offended, and I do not burn with indignation." Paul had indignation in his heart when he was being mistreated, thrown in prison wrongly, having people, and when he's slapped, or the high priest orders him to be slapped, and Paul fires back and he says, "God shall strike you, you whited wall," and so on. And you could tell, yeah, Paul had a struggle with anger. It appears the same thing happened to John the Baptist while he was in prison, and he questioned whether or not Jesus was the Messiah. And Jesus sends him word and says, "Tell John, the lame walk, the blind see, and blessed is he whosoever is not offended in me." So, having someone struggling from the heart because they have questions or doubts about God, against God, they're angry at God for some reason. Well, we see this happen with the children of Israel in the wilderness. And apparently, this appears to have happened to Karl Marx as well. The problem is, Karl Marx did not get turned about. Not that we know of, anyway. And he got angry at God and then wanted vengeance. And in another one of his poems, Marx wrote, quote, "Thus heaven I forfeited, I know it full well, my soul, once true to God, is chosen for hell." End quote. That is one of the dark poems of Karl Marx. All right, let's go to our commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about Karl Marx, communism, and Satanism right after this.
Dullam Films presents Dark Clouds Over Elberton, the true story of the Georgia Guidestones, a dynamic new documentary exposing the environmental agenda. In 1980, this granite monument was erected by an anonymous stranger who called himself R.C. Christian. He claimed to represent a small group that wished to usher in the Age of Reason. Sometimes called the American Stonehenge, this strange monument is said to contain the Ten Commandments of the New Age, or the Ten Commandments of the Antichrist. It calls for global government, environmental control, and worst of all, it says to maintain the world population under 500 million people. But who was R.C. Christian, and does his monument have something to do with the climate change agenda of the United Nations today? Find out by ordering Dark Clouds Over Elberton, the true story of the Georgia Guidestones. Available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Witnessing tool for church and Bible study groups around the world. Share church, your family, and friends the untold history of the Bible today. Now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
If you want to understand the times through the lens of a biblical worldview, get answers to important Bible questions, or be involved in intensive Bible study and research, then check out situationroom.net/join. You can now join for just $7.99 a month and have instant access to the radio and television programs of Brannon Howes, Mike Gendron, Mike Abendroth, Mike Riddle, Justin Peters, John Whitcomb, Jimmy DeYoung, Jesse Johnson, Susan Heck, Chris Pinto, John Leffler, T.A. McMahon, Michael John Beasley, David Farnell, and Tommy Ice. Many of these programs are exclusive to The Situation Room and are produced and or distributed by Worldview Weekend from our radio and television studios in Memphis, Tennessee. Our goal is to help you defend and proclaim a biblical worldview. So why not go to situationroom.net/join right now and look at what is waiting for you as a member. This is broadcast quality, biblically sound, on-demand content for the entire family. Situationroom.net/join. Join now, and we'll send you 20 Worldview Weekend DVDs as our way of saying thank you for becoming a member or for renewing your membership. That's $300 in free DVDs shipped to you free of charge when you join at situationroom.net/join.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show today. We're talking about Karl Marx, communism, and Satanism, and we made mention of the fact that on the internet, there is the what appears to be a Photoshopped campaign poster promoting Satanists for Bernie Sanders in 2016. Is there more to this than meets the eye? Is there more to this than meets the eye? Well, certainly in the history of communism and socialism, there is definitely much more to it than I think the average American is aware of. Now, many of you are going to be familiar with the fact when all of the controversy over Barack Obama as the community organizer and how he was influenced by Saul Alinsky and his book Rules for Radicals, in which you have the acknowledgement to Lucifer. In the book where he says, Alinsky said, quote, "Lest we forget, at least an over-the-shoulder acknowledgement to the very first radical from all our legends, mythology, and history, and who is to know where mythology leaves off and history begins, or which is which? The first radical known to man who rebelled against the establishment and did it so effectively that he at least won his own kingdom, Lucifer." Okay, and he appears to be making reference to Lucifer in Milton's Paradise Lost, where Lucifer says it is better to reign in hell than to serve in heaven. Better to be in charge. You see, ultimately, all of this is about power and control. And I believe it all goes back to the Garden of Eden, the original lust. The lust for knowledge. Why? Because then your eyes shall be opened, you shall be as gods. That knowledge gives you power. Power to be like a god. That is the original lust of mankind. All right, so, but let's look further at some of the history of communism and understand this dynamic. Now, of course, if you haven't read the book Marx and Satan, that I highly recommend. You can find a copy online. You can go to Amazon and order a copy of the book by Richard Wurmbrand. There's a lot of very important and powerful quotes in that book. But you can also find a number of articles online. Here's from one of them about how communism is Satanism, ultimately. And it quotes a number of communist revolutionaries or guys who interacted with Karl Marx, really, like Bruno Bauer. Bruno Bauer, It says in this article, beside Ludwig Feuerbach, the fallen theologian of Germany in the 1840s and teacher IA of Karl Marx, quote, he said, quote, I deliver lectures here at the university before a large audience. I don't recognize myself when I pronounce my blasphemies from the pulpit, he said. He said, quote, they are so great that these children, whom nobody should offend, have their hair standing on end. While delivering the blasphemies, I remember how I work piously at home writing an apology of the Holy Scriptures and of the Revelation. In any case, it is a very bad demon that possesses me as often as I ascend the pulpit, he said. He's admitting, this guy Bruno Bauer, admitting to being demonically possessed, or at least that's what he says. It is a very bad demon that possesses me as often as I ascend the pulpit, and I am so weak that I am compelled to yield to him. My spirit of blasphemy will be satisfied only if I am authorized to preach openly as professor of the atheistic system. So preaching atheism. Atheism. Now, my own study of Marxism and studying Karl Marx and his satanic writings, because that's really what they are, and we're going to talk about some more of them here shortly, is that atheism, these communist, socialist revolutionaries, Marx and those who were thinking the same way that he was, atheism for them is not really what they believed. They believed in God, but they were in rebellion against God. And atheism was an instrument, a weapon that they used to fight against God. And I believe what inspired them in this regard is the scripture that says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. That men are saved because they have faith. They believe God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You hear the word of God, you believe it. You believe God's promises. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So, what would be the opposite of that? Atheism. Completely opposing faith in God. You don't trust his promises. You don't believe his laws. You don't believe the Bible. You don't believe anything. You reject all of it. And that's what communism does. But Bruno Bauer, if you look him up, he was not only associated with Karl Marx, but also Friedrich Engels, Marx co-author on the Communist Manifesto, and with Friedrich Nietzsche. Nietzsche, who was a flat-out, open, professing Antichrist. So all of these guys, if you start to look into their writings and their teachings and this kind of thing, promoting Satanism and rebellion against God is a repeated theme. That's why when I saw the quote some time ago, it's been a couple of years since I first saw it, from Saul Alinsky about Lucifer, I thought this completely fits in with everything that the, not just Karl Marx, but all of these Marxist revolutionaries were declaring in the 19th century. This is just how they all thought. Then you have Mikhail Bakunin. We quote Mikhail Bakunin in our film Megiddo, The March to Armageddon, if you watch that film. We have a whole section in Megiddo, Part 1, that talks about Karl Marx and Satanism and gives a number of quotes. But Mikhail Bakunin, the infamous Russian anarchist and for a while co-warrior of Marx, I'm reading from the article here. There's a quote from Bakunin who said, quote, the evil one is the satanic revolt against divine authority, revolt in which we see the fecund germ of all human emancipations, the revolution. Socialists recognize each other by the words, in the name of the one to whom a great wrong has been done. And he is apparently speaking of Satan. That, I mean, this Luciferian philosophy, if you study it, it is that Satan, Lucifer, is really the angel of light. He wanted mankind to partake of knowledge. He was going to deliver mankind through knowledge. But God, and this is ancient Gnosticism, brethren, really, God the Demiurge, the Creator God, Ialdabaoth, they call him. Ialdabaoth was some brooding evil god. And he was angry at Lucifer for showing mankind knowledge so that men could become gods too, because Ialdabaoth was this jealous, low-minded, not very intelligent god. That's the way they describe him in ancient Gnosticism. And he wanted to be the only god that anybody worshiped. So he persecutes and torments Lucifer for what he did. And you can read the writings of people like Eliphas Levi, in his writings, talks about how the horns and claws that so often adorn Lucifer would better befit his tormentor, meaning God, that God is the real devil, they say. And Madame Blavatsky had this whole thing worked out where she even developed a phrase, demon est deus inversus, the devil is God inverted. That was the idea. They just did a role reversal. This is ancient Gnosticism. This is New Age philosophy. And this is part of the inner core of socialist communist teaching. This is what they believe inwardly. Okay, and atheism is really a weapon that they use. Militant atheism is a weapon that they use against Christianity primarily. You have Pierre-Joseph Proudhon, the French anarcho-socialist, who said, quote, "We reach knowledge in spite of him. We reach society in spite of him. Every step forward is a victory in which we have overcome the divine." In other words, you reach knowledge in spite of God. This is going back to the garden. Notice the reference there. We reach knowledge in spite of him. We reach society in spite of him, in spite of God. God's trying to get in the way. So for him, the idea of advancement is you're overcoming the divine. Brethren, this is the entire thought process behind the progressive movement in America. Think about what they're doing. They're trying to overcome the standards of God. How do we throw down God's standard? This is why they're bringing in abortion, homosexuality, transgenderism, more and more immoral practices and behaviors. Anything that God has forbidden and condemned, they are trying to promote and normalize. This is pure Luciferianism, pure Satanism. The famous Satanist, Aleister Crowley, used to teach his followers that they needed to learn to do everything backwards, to write backwards, talk backwards, everything in reverse. Why? Because it's a symbol, it's a picture of rejecting God. When they do the satanic mass, the black mass, they say the Our Father who art in heaven, but they do the whole thing backwards. They start with Amen and they say Nema. They reverse the words because it's a symbol of rejecting God, doing the exact opposite. Whatever God said to do, you do the opposite of whatever God said to do. And if you think about what's happening in America and our country with this progressive socialist movement, everything that they're doing is to attack God's standards at every turn, attacking the commandments of God. That's why this socialist movement, there's no question about it, it is a satanic movement. It is rebellion against the Lord, not just against Christian society, it's rebellion against God. I remember reading about the group, the Communard Florens in the 19th century, and they said, our enemy is God, hatred against God is the beginning of wisdom. That was their motto. All right, I want to read some of the poetry from Karl Marx. Marx, who was really, really deep into some philosophic evil. I mean, just deep, deep rebellion against God. And he said, I mean, we talked about earlier, this is from a ReformationEssay.org article on Marx called The Heart and Soul of Karl Marx, which you can find online. But they give a series of quotes from Marx. They're similar to the quotes you're going to find in Wormbrand's book, Marx and Satan, where they quote Marx saying, quote, "I wish to avenge myself against the one who rules above." He says, quote, "I shall build my throne high overhead. Cold, tremendous shall its summit be, for its bulwark, superstitious dread, for its martial, blackest agony." He wrote a drama called Ulanem, in which he said, quote, "The hellish vapors rise and fill the brain till I go mad and my heart is utterly changed. See this sword? The Prince of Darkness sold it to me. For me beats the time and gives the signs. Ever more boldly I play the dance of death." He had a very dark, morbid, just hellish, really. He said, "The hellish vapors rise and fill the brain." It's almost like he's describing being demonically possessed. This same thing was said of Hitler. If you go study Hitler and the speeches that he gave, there are those who talked about how witnessing him give these speeches, these big rousing speeches, and get people up shouting and, you know, shouting Sieg Heil and everything else. He said that there were those who, or it was said in one of the histories or the commentaries that somebody wrote on Hitler, that he was the seat of the thrones and dominions that the Apostle Paul talked about when he said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, against principalities, against spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies, that those demonic spirits descended upon Adolf Hitler and compelled him while he was speaking. And they empowered him. And people were beguiled. They were bewitched by him as a form of witchcraft, really. And if you look at the impact, brethren, that the socialism and the Marxism has on those who are given over to it. I mean, I've heard repeatedly that liberalism is a mental illness, because the arguments that they embrace and make are just insane, crazy arguments that make no sense whatsoever. But you can only wonder, how could people be given over to this systematic madness unless there were a spiritual component at work, unless they were being bewitched, as it were, through false information and through really satanic, rebellious doctrine. Because that's what, collectively speaking, you study Marx, you study communism, you study the origins of it. At one point, Wormbrand writes about how the communists in Russia, they had an inner circle that they called hell, literally. They just called it hell, because for them it was so blatant what they were doing. In fact, where Marx is concerned, one of Marx's friends, a man named Robert Paine, who was a friend of Karl Marx, he wrote that Karl Marx, quote, "had the devil's view of the world and the devil's malignity. Sometimes he seemed to know that he was accomplishing the works of evil," end quote. Now, it's very interesting, if you read Marx and Satan, there's a number of poems from Marx and writings and things like that where he seems to be very aware that what he's doing is he is working to destroy deliberately the faith of other people in God so he can drag them into hell. That honestly seemed to be his ambition. Very, very dark, very sinister, very evil. In fact, under the Soviet Union, under Vladimir Lenin, one of the slogans of the Soviet Union was, quote, "We fight against God to snatch believers from him." That was one of the slogans used in the Soviet Union. They knew what they were doing, brethren. They knew what they were doing. And hatred, you study this movement, hatred, having hatred toward others. It was Vladimir Lenin who was quoted saying that hatred is the basis of communism. And sowing discord and unrest and division and hatred. This is why I say, you know, when we're looking at the Democratic Party right now, with this whole election cycle coming up and the 2016 election, You look at what the socialists, and at this point the Democratic Party is the American Socialist Party. Their ambition is not to represent government in such a way that we can all be at peace with one another and dwell peaceably together during our time upon the earth, which, as I've talked about before, we're told, yes, to preach the gospel, to remember that the purpose of the gospel is not to achieve peace on earth, but where government is concerned, we are to pray for those in authority so that in as much as possible, we can live peaceably. Because this is right and pleasing in the sight of God. And so we're not to give into some kind of false peace to where we compromise the gospel, we compromise the message of salvation. That we are not supposed to do. We're supposed to stand strong and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, even when people disagree with it. But where matters of government are concerned and society, etc., yes, we should seek to live peaceably. And if we're going to vote and pray for those in authority, we should be praying that we'll have a peaceable environment to serve the Lord in as much as that is possible. The Bible tells us to pray for these things. So it's not wrong, brethren, to desire to be in a peaceable neighborhoods and to have a peaceable country, etc., where we don't have unrest and chaos and riots and this kind of thing. But I don't trust that the Democrats want that. I think they want the discord. I think they want the conflict. I think they want the division because that's how socialism and communism advance themselves. They do it by sowing seeds of hatred, unrest, and really rebellion. Rebellion and destruction. This is another aspect of the communist agenda, and you could go read a number of books on this, but they talk about it. The idea that they're going to build their new order. They cannot build the new order unless they first destroy the old order, whatever it is. And so when they go in, just like when they took over in Russia, they completely slaughtered the Tsar and his family. They destroyed all of them. They just wrecked the whole thing. They did the same thing in China. It's why they kill so many people. They kill people by the millions because they want to destroy whatever old system is there. This is what the communists did in Poland with the Katyn massacre, where they took the 20,000 Polish officers and leaders and so on and just shot them all in the back of the head, destroyed them so they could set up their new order. There are many people who believe that that's what they're trying to do in a different way, but with our economy, that they're trying to deliberately drive up the national debt, give all the money away, and put our country on a destructive path economically, where the system will eventually collapse and will be forced to adopt a different economic method of doing things, one that will be more agreeable to Marxist ideology. And there are books and videos and all kinds of stuff written about this for years. In fact, there are those who believe that the use of the phoenix bird and some of the symbolism has something to do with this. The phoenix bird destroys itself by fire, and then from its own ashes, it is resurrected and reborn, if you will. And some people believe that this is a picture, a symbol of what they want to do with this globalist New World Order system. What some people think they want to do with America is destroy the system from within and then from the ashes build up a completely different way of doing things, one that's going to be more agreeable to the socialist communist worldview. I mean, people have talked about this for years. Now, I want to close. We've run a little bit long today, but I want to close with a quote from Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the great Russian writer who had famously said that why did everything take place, all of the tragedy of the communist revolution? He said, men have forgotten God. He said, that's why all this has happened. Well, here's another quote from Solzhenitsyn. He said, quote, "The world has never before known a godlessness as organized, militarized, and tenaciously malevolent as that preached by Marxism. within the philosophical system of Marx and Lenin, and at the heart of their psychology, hatred of God is the principal driving force, more fundamental than all their political and economic pretensions. Militant atheism is not merely incidental or marginal to communist policy. It is not a side effect, but the central pivot. To achieve its diabolical ends, communism needs to control a population devoid of religious and national feeling, and this entails a destruction of faith and nationhood. Communists proclaim both of these objectives openly and just as openly put them into practice. So, destroying faith, he says, and nationhood, a sense of nationality. Even in the New Testament, Paul had a sense of loyalty to his brethren after the flesh, the nation of Israel. Now, of course, he did not allow his nationality to interfere with his loyalty to God. That's the key, that it's God first, country second. But there is certainly nothing wrong with wanting to see our countrymen blessed and to see them benefit and to have a sense of nationality, to be thankful to God that we're Americans, and to want to do good to America and for your country to be successful. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that, nothing unbiblical about it at all. In fact, Paul talked about being in continual heaviness and so on because of his kinsmen after the flesh, the Israelites. He says at one point that his heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He cared about his countrymen. He cared about people outside his country as well, but he did have a sense of loyalty to his own country, to his own nation. It is, as the scripture says, with God there is no respect of persons. In every nation, those who fear God and who work righteousness are accepted with him. So the fear of God, faith in God, the love of God, and the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is for all the nations of the earth. Unfortunately, Marxism, communism opposes utterly the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in that regard, it's very, very dangerous. And I think we've got to be in prayer, brethren, and we've most certainly got to oppose communism and socialism and Marxism in our country, because it's on the rise, and the key is the education system. Unless somehow or other, we the people can find a way to confront the education system. Now, what Christians are doing, thank the Lord, they're relying upon homeschooling. They're relying upon private Christian academies where a lot of these teachings, they can get their kids away from them. And praise the Lord, it's great that we still have that option in this country. If Bernie Sanders were to be elected or Hillary Clinton, the time may come when they're going to tighten the reins on the homeschoolers and on the private Christian schools and institutions and so on, and make it very, very difficult, if not impossible, for them to avoid teaching the Marxist philosophies that they want everybody to embrace, because that's just the nature of the totalitarian worldview. And their hatred of God drives them to attack Christianity at every turn. So we've got to be in prayer, brethren, with this upcoming election. But we've got to know what's going on. Our young people don't know. They don't realize what they're supporting when they're running out and supporting Bernie Sanders and socialism and this kind of thing. They have no idea. But it's our responsibility to reach out to them and to educate them as best we can. All right, brethren, that is going to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.